First Chronicles chapter 13. We'll pick up our study in verse 1 and we will go through chapter 14. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. First Chronicles chapter 13, verse 1. David conferred with each of his officers, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. He then said to the whole assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if it is the will of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of our brothers throughout the territories of Israel, and also to the priests and Levites who are with them in their towns and pasture lands to come and join us." And so David spoke to all of Israel through their representatives. And this is what was in David's mind, verse 3. "Let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul." And the holy sanctuary, the tabernacle, the place of worship, was in Jerusalem, but the ark was not. As a result, the pure worship of God was lacking during the years that Saul was king. And David was sharp spiritually, so he knew that the ark needed to be in Jerusalem in the holy tabernacle so that they could worship God in the prescribed manner. Verse 4. "The whole assembly agreed to this because it seemed right to all the people." And so the people were inspired by David's devotion to God. 5. "So David assembled all the Israelites from the Shihor River in Egypt to Lebo Hamath to bring the Ark of God from Kiriath Jearim." The people from north to south joined together to bring the Ark back to where it belonged. And it says in verse 6, "David and all the Israelites with him went to Baala of Judah, Kiriath Jearim, to bring up from there the ark of God the Lord, who is enthroned between the cherubim, the ark that is called by the name." And the reason that the ark was so important is that the Lord God was present there in a unique way. It was his throne on earth. And you say, "Well, God, I thought God was everywhere. What's the big deal?" He is everywhere. But he chooses to reveal himself in different ways. Some ways more visible to us, some ways more holy than in other ways. You know, he was there in a special way in the ark because that was his throne on earth, just like he is there in a special way in Holy Communion today. It's just, it's special, and it's kind of a mystery. We don't understand it. Perhaps we could say he's there in a sacramental way. For sure, that is the case in communion, and perhaps it was something similar to that with the Ark of the Covenant. But we know that when that is the case, it is something holy and something special. Verse 7, "They moved the Ark of God from Abinadab's house on a new cart, with Uzzah and Ahio guiding it." Trouble right here. According to the Word of God, the ark was to be carried by poles when moved. There were rings in both sides of the ark through which poles were to be slid, and then it was to be carried by the Levites, not on a cart. God never said anything about transporting it on a cart. New cart, old cart, it doesn't matter. It could be a solid gold cart. God never said put it on a cart. He said it has to be carried. So they're doing the right thing and moving the ark to Jerusalem, to the tabernacle, but they're doing the right thing in the wrong way. Verse 8. "David and all the Israelites were celebrating with all their might before God, with songs, with harps, lyres, tambourines, cymbals, and trumpets." And so they are celebrating the Lord God. And that's good. God likes us to celebrate him, as long as we're not doing anything wrong in our celebrating, which is something that they were doing without even knowing it. And it's going to be trouble. Look at verse 9. When they came to the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark because the oxen stumbled. Uzzah, probably without even thinking, reaches out to stop the ark from falling off the cart. It was probably just a reflex reaction. Verse 10. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he had put his hand on the ark, so he died there before God. The ark was not to be touched by anyone, not even by the priests. So Uzzah is struck dead by God. You see, that ark was God's throne. It was holy and therefore unapproachable by sinful man. And if they would have known the word of God, they would have known that. No wonder the Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Verse 11. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. And to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. David loved God. Now he was angry though, because Uzzah had been struck down for trying to do something good. Of course, if David had been told that moving the ark on a cart was against the word of God, then he wouldn't have been angry. Ignorance of God's word does not excuse sin. Verse 12. David was afraid of God that day and asked, "How can I ever bring the ark of God to me?" David loved God, but he didn't understand God, and it scared him. He tried to do the right thing, but as I said, he did it the wrong way, so now he's afraid to do the right thing. Verse 13. He did not take the ark to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And he put the plan to bring the holy ark to Jerusalem on hold for now. Verse 14. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed his household and everything he had. And so Obed-Edom had the presence of God in his house, and as a result, God blessed him. And the presence of God is there for us to enjoy anytime we want to, if we want it. And if we do, he will bless. There is blessing in the presence of God. 14. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David along with cedar logs, stone masons, and carpenters to build a palace for him. The king of Tyre sends all sorts of lumber and craftsmen to David to help build his royal palace in Jerusalem. And it says in verse 2, and David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that his kingdom had been highly exalted for the sake of his people Israel. The friendship of a powerful neighboring king was seen by David as God's stamp of approval on his kingship. Now, he knew that God had called him to be king, but it's always good to get a little extra word of encouragement or some kind of encouragement from God that you're on track and that you are indeed in his will. And this is what this was for David. And he was very much encouraged, I am sure. In verse 3, it says, in Jerusalem, David took more wives and became the father of more sons and daughters. And that was a mistake. One thing God made clear is that he didn't want his kings to multiply wives. But David did. And he will not get away with it. It will cause trouble later on. But these wives and these children are in addition to the ones David had while he had been king over just a portion of Israel for 7 years. And then verses 4 through 7 gives the names of these children, which I will not read. We skip down to verse 8. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they went up in full force to search for him, but David heard about it and went out to meet them. And so the Philistines, the Israelites, arch enemies, they want to overthrow David right away, probably before he gets his kingdom firmly established. They figure if they're going to beat Israel, they're going to have to do it right now. Verse 9. Now the Philistines had come and raided the valley of Rephaim. And let's stop right there for a second. The valley of Rephaim was to the west of Jerusalem, and it was far enough away to enable the Philistines to strike from any direction. And so they're keeping their options open. And then verse 10. So David inquired of God, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord answered him, "Go, I will hand them over to you." And David didn't want to presume that he knew the will of God, and so he asked for God's leading. The incident with the ark in Uzzah taught David to be cautious. Verse 11, so David and his men went up to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, "As waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies by my hand." So that place was called Baal Perazim. David said, "God has overcome my enemies like the waters from a broken dam overcome anything that's in its path." So he gives all credit to God. And it says in verse 12, the Philistines had abandoned their gods there, and David gave orders to burn them in the fire. The Philistines brought their gods into battle with them, thinking that their gods would give them victory. Well, the Philistines are dead, and their idols are burned, and I guess that means they thought wrong. Verse 13, once more the Philistines raided the valley, and so they didn't give up easy. Verse 14, so David inquired of God again, and God answered him, "Do not go straight up, but circle around them and attack them in front of the balsam trees." Now, I will give credit to David here, because sometimes success can make us think that we don't really need to inquire of God. We don't really need God's help. Sometimes success can make people spiritually lazy, but not David. Not David. And so God answers David's prayer, gave him the okay to attack again. But he gave David a different strategy this time. Verse 15. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam tree,